Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Chat Room with Tony Wolfpaw.
Okay, what did I tell you? I was just telling my good friends that we kind of like, I posted a question one time. It was saying, do men follow instructions, yes or no? And a lot of you people agreed that we do not follow instructions. Well, the good thing is that we, I think I confirmed that today, we do follow instructions, but I think that we either have a messed up way of processing it. Not all, but you're talking to one right now, which is me. We're starting this show, and remember that you are listening to...
You're listening to The Chat Room with Tony Wolfpaw.
And all the chat room, folks, is on WLOR.net. We have today, you know that we love to see these the TV shows, and we feel when we see them, one of them are going to be our favorites, and we have one that has always been our favorites, okay? One of my favorite shows has been always The Haunted Collector, and when I saw this show, I liked the team, I liked the family together, but I loved the seriousness that they brought to the paranormal investigation, and there's this one person that is I mean, he's a very humble guy. You can see him. You have seen him many times in paranormal investigations, and you have seen him in paranormal conventions as a speaker. We know him as Brian J. Kano. He's also from Core Films, and there's a lot. I was taking a look at all the, you know, the background that he has, and he's a very technical person that does documentaries. Yesterday was his birthday, and we have him here with us today. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Oh, brother, we're doing good. Yesterday was your birthday. I know that a lot of people were giving you a happy birthday and that. And today, we don't want to miss out on it either. We have people in the chat room that are already saying happy birthday to you.
Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate that. And to everyone in the chat room, thank you.
Well, yes, folks, this is Brian J. Kano. Brian, you know, I was reading about your background, and you do a lot of the documentaries yourself. I see that you run everything from graphic designs to lights and sound. I have to ask you, because you've been for many years already on the field of broadcasting of television, and what's the best place that you like to be? I know that when you're in front of the camera, it changes your life. When you're behind the camera, people don't have an idea how things run. What's your favorite place?
That's a tough question, because when I first got on Haunted Collector, I mean, I was no stranger to television shows, was no stranger to broadcast and production and the whole process. So,
oh, okay. So it's I was thinking there's a lot of the stress that goes on when you're out there putting up and setting up for the documentaries. I know that every time and once in a while we run across of a faulty cable and we have to be there solving problems. I have to say, when you are filming The Haunted Collector, are you also a hands-on guy behind the scenes with all the process of recording? Because I know that it's hard not to be part of it, because it's like that. It's a special breed of people, I say, that will have that initiative. How did this whole documentary filming thing began with you? Well, I think that, oh, my goodness, okay.
Okay, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Look, every time we talk about, every time we have a guest that has to do with the paranormal, something happens. Okay, yes, Did you hear the
question?
Yeah,
in the middle of that last question, I guess my phone lost signal. So pretty much, I guess, just to round up the last one, it was hard to pick a favorite because on Haunted Collector, there was so much that I knew how to do production-wise and so much that I wanted to do to help and contribute. But they were like, no, just stay in front of the camera. You do your job, we'll do ours. I'm like, oh, but guys, I want to help. So it was very hard to not have that control that I was used to. But then at the same time, because now on the other side of the show, I'm back to doing the documentaries, and I would love someone just to point a camera at me, and I wouldn't have to do all that. But both sides have their rewards and their merits.
Because I know that with you, there's so much to say. And folks, you can read about this because you can also follow him and remember that we're talking with someone that works with Core Films. I know that many people know you about the hauntings and that. And I know that the passions of making documentaries and being able to have your hands on so many useful equipment that when you put it all together, you're gonna make something that some people want to, you know, will enjoy seeing. Everything seems to have evolved around the paranormal. I'm thinking that are you like with ideas of making other types of projects in the future?
You mean paranormal in nature or just other things?
It's because I see this is what I read. Okay, creature effects, visual effects. You like to do if you were to work like there's people that do the horror films and things like that. I want to get this. You know, you also said that you like to get your hands on the technical things when you're supposed to be in front of the camera. This is something that's so contagious. I have a background in theater, and when I finish a play, I think, what's going to come up next? And when you don't have anything come up next, it says, you know what, I think it's a good time to throw out a monologue or something like that. So a person like you is always creative, and I'm thinking...
I am very much a creative person, and it's true. Unfortunately, I don't stop, so I'm consistently working on four or five projects at once. And it's funny because, I mean, a lot of it is rooted in the paranormal. A lot of it is rooted in what I do in and around the paranormal. So we're editing a couple of documentaries right now. We created a card game based on the paranormal. But on the side, just recently, I kind of wanted to do something that would challenge myself. So, I mean, I've been a public speaker for years. I did the TV show thing. So I'm checking off all the boxes. But just recently, I starred in a small play called The Drunkard. And for me, this was different. You know, I had to stand in front of an audience, recite lines, and I had to sing a couple of short songs. And I wasn't sure if I could do it. I wasn't sure if that was something that I either would enjoy or I'd be good at, but, you know, I wanted to challenge myself and try it. So we did two performances in January, and I've got one coming up in March. So I the first couple of shows, I think, did well. They seemed to enjoy it, so I think I did all right.
I know that, you know, people are gonna love what you're doing because of the way we were introduced. Of course, people will want to keep you as that haunted collector. You know how it goes. It says, dudes, I see they want to keep you there. But now, folks, Brian J. Kano is an actor, and this is something that has always been on your path. Because I think that one that works with cameras, and not only that, you're a writer in all this. So there's so much that we can expect from you. And I see that you are very well connected to your fans, to the people that just say, "Hey, there's Brian Kano." You know, we can see it in your pictures. Like, you're a real cool guy, accessible. How much are you often on the road? Because I saw that you were on a paranormal cruise somewhere. I mean, this is awesome. Is this is where all the speeches that they're connecting with you? And I saw something also out there that you about Salem. So I see that you're constantly on the road. How do you make time to do that and plus keep track of all of these other projects that you're doing?
Like I said, I don't stop. I guess kind of like a shark. If I stop, I'll die. So, yeah, the Bermuda Triangle cruise in December was pretty cool. And 2014 was very busy for me, convention-wise, lecture-wise. Almost every weekend I was somewhere doing something. And, you know, I'm very grateful and I'm thankful for the opportunities I've been given. I mean, literally, the paranormal has been very good to me. So the least I could do is respond to email I get on Facebook or Twitter. You know, I'm just a regular guy. So if you write me and I have the time, of course I'm going to respond. So I know it's not always the case with the forward-facing people on TV. They're too busy. And, you know, I understand it. You get overwhelmed and, you know, I do my best to try to stay in contact with everyone. But as far as keeping all my projects forward and going, it is a challenge. It's very tough. The latest thing that we're doing is a series of documentaries called The Paranormal Compendium. And it's probably going to be a 4 or 5 part documentary series. We want this to be the desk reference set for the paranormal. It's by the community, for the community. And the manifesto behind it is, all right, Anthony, you've probably seen this. You've talked to a lot of people. We have our eyes on the field right now. And the TV shows are great. They're cool. I have no problem with them. What I do take issue with is that so many people who watch the shows get their sole information and their sole training just by watching those shows, and they don't dig any deeper. So they watch the shows, they go into the field, they wave meters around, they mimic what they see, sometimes without understanding fully why it's done. And, you know, ask anybody, hey, well, you've got a millimeter. Well, why do you use it? Well, because that's what Zach uses. Well, that's not a good enough answer. We want this documentary series to be the basic information for everyone. And it's not how to investigate, it's why. And we want people to have the names of the pioneers and the veterans that came before us. Names like Braudave, Jurgensen, Holzer, even Zaffis. You know, there's a string of names of people that have come before in the spiritualist movement, in all different areas connected to the paranormal, and that really, honestly, began the paranormal movement, that we should know beyond just, you know, Wilson, Hawes, Baggins, Zaffis. You know, it's the difference between almost Hollywood. And practical.
You know that is one of the things that have attracted me to the show that we began to follow, which is the Haunted Collector, with an episode that had to do with a very closely linked to Native Americans that it was carefully treated. There was a lot to learn from that. And when you mention about honoring like those, I like the old school way, and a lot of new things have changed that. It's like when you know what you were just saying. People don't will get the device. We'll put the device because they just saw the device, not because right. They understand what's the purpose of it, and the mimicking of what they see. It's like all of a sudden we found ourselves taunting a spirit, almost like a with that demand, please answer me, or I'll beat you up. They say
yeah.
that you do harm, and I'm here, and this and that. You know, that's what I like about this. So this documentary that you're talking about would it be available like on DVD?
Yeah, we're looking to release it on Blu-ray. We'll probably post it online for free. This is something we want everyone to have, and unfortunately it's taking us a while to produce. And, you know, it's one of those things where I've given myself and we've given ourselves self-imposed deadlines that unfortunately we keep missing, but I'd rather take more time, do it correctly and properly, than rush something out just so that people can see it. And we've been interviewing so many people, Keith and Carl Johnson, veteran demonologists. We've interviewed John Zaffis, Gary Galka, and we've interviewed cats from the shows and people off the shows, inventors, investigators. We want this to be well-rounded so that everybody can get in on this. You know, this is not about who's the most popular or whose show is better. This is about, hey, this is all of us, all moving forward together for a common goal.
That's very nice. That's very nice of you, and you guys to get involved in a project like this. It is, you know, it sounds very promising and highly educational. Something that we will also want to keep an eye out when it comes out in the market, because we're pretty much collectors of information, and this kind of information really helps you grow in this kind of thing. You can say that everyone in their different ways of being has it correctly right in their own way of thinking. But again, the paranormal, dealing with spirits, we have to be very sensitive. We cannot lose our sensitivity as humans when trying to talk or communicate with the spirit itself. That's why I say it doesn't make sense to taunt a spirit, because Brian, if somebody goes to your house, and I know that you probably talked about this a lot, that's why people, if you have an opportunity to check out any of these conferences that Brian is at, you know, go there, you'll learn something, okay? Because you have had good people around you that's almost like a, you know, that's been almost like, well, your mentors in all of these things, that because we're all here to learning. But it doesn't make sense to be disrespectful and then assume that we're going to have a positive result. Because sometimes what happens when somebody annoys you, you turn your back, you don't respond. So, again, this will bring some kind of education on it, because it's not that we're getting it all wrong. I think that we're all trying to rush into looking for the Holy Grail, or you know,
exactly.
we're trying to rush things, and as we're rushing things, that's when we make a whole lot of mistakes, and mistakes will be made, because a lot of these founding fathers and their science have come through trial and error among things. Who is that major inspiration in you that has, you know, been part of your foundation of that mindset that you have when investigating? I know that you have evolved and you're bringing new things. That's the good. But we always have that. I learned it from this.
Well, I've coined a term recently because. Again, you touched upon it before. I get invited to conventions, I speak, and until you know me, you pretty much just assume, hey, he's the guy from Haunted Collector, as John says, and my tech guy, Brian. So you assume I'm going to talk about gadgets and gadgetry and gear. And that's, and while I love it, that's, you know, a minor facet of who I am. And I've coined a term called paralosophy. a mashup of paranormal and philosophy. And I used to do this thing on Facebook where every Friday I would post a philosophical question or a conundrum of something that didn't necessarily have an answer, and it didn't have a right answer per se, but I wanted people to think. And this is what I want people to think about. I want people to think. I want people to do less, think more. Because, you know, like you said, everyone's rushing. Everyone's trying to be first. Everyone wants to lock down that location or, hey, look, my evidence is better than yours. And, you know, that's really not the way. And unfortunately, we're not alone in this method, in this way of thinking, because in science, in acting, in, I mean, pick any discipline, pick any profession, you'll see competition. You'll see people trying to do it first or do it better or do it faster. And the thing that makes us different, I mean, okay, like say, you know, you've all heard about the famous rivalry / friendship between Nikola Tesla and Thomas Edison. You know, they're working on similar things. They're trying to get it out. They're trying to outshine the other. That's inventions and advancements to mankind and things like that. But what we're dealing with in the paranormal are really big picture philosophical questions. Why are we here? What happens to us when we die? What's our purpose? So it goes beyond just competition. This is like, all right, no matter what I find, if I get a great EVP or if I get a great piece of video or whatever I discover, doesn't go into my pocket. It goes into our collective resume. Hey, this happened. This is all a part of us. So, I mean, it's taken me a long time to get here. When I first started my paranormal career, I was a skeptic. I didn't really believe in anything, and I didn't think that anything that was being reported had any credence. But I always tell people I consider myself the scientist, and I think science-minded. Not because I want to assault you with rules and theories and figures and numbers, but a scientist, a true scientist, has to dream, has to believe, has to have faith in something that isn't proven, that isn't a fact. They've got to dream it, to believe it, to look for it and search for it. And if they find evidence that refutes that belief, then all right, they'll change their mind and say, all right, well, I was wrong. I got to go in a different direction. And it's okay to change your mind. It's okay to say, well, last year I believed this. This year I think differently because of what I've experienced and what I've witnessed and what I've gathered. And that's just learning and growing. And I think that a lot of people, when they say they believe, they're afraid to go against that belief. And we've seen this historically in religion and other type things where things go horribly wrong when you get behind a belief that is inflexible. And I know I just went off on a big tangent. I don't even remember what the original question was, but
no, that was pretty awesome because you know it doesn't do any wrong, especially when you're in science, because you just said that you're a person of science. So in times you will go beyond of what you believe, and probably, you know, I heard one time someone say that you have to kind of like forget everything that you were told and try to, you know, grasp what you are like listening and you're discovering now. That almost like, you know, clear your mind, because if we go into something that, first of all, we know little about and we want to know about, we are already setting up our own ways, maybe, you know, I mean, I don't know. Everyone has their different methods of trying to investigate something or disprove something that makes it even hard, because, you know, it's probably, we could probably be in front of something very big and not even see it or notice it. Why?
It's true, and there's a gray area.
Yeah.
It's very much a gray area, too, because there's truth and then there's methodology. And a lot of times we confuse the two because, you know, whether you're a person who provokes or you are a person who uses gadgets or maybe you use psychics, so many groups and so many people say, well, you're doing it wrong. I do it this way. And I believe this or I think that. Now, okay, take for instance gravity. Whether you believe in it or not, it exists, and you know, you can't see it, but you step off a rooftop, you will see its effects. Now, there's different methodologies, there's different ways to defy gravity. You could get in a plane, you could get in a hot air balloon, you can jump. You know, there are different ways about breaking those rules, but yet the truth is still the same. So if we are looking for that intangible, i.e. spirits, intelligence beyond the physical, we have to understand that, yes, it's a fact, and it's a tenet that regardless of our methodology exists. Our methodologies are the things that change, and our methodologies are the things that will alter our perceptions of it when we interact with it.
Mm-hmm. You know that, so you mentioned gravity, and I've seen footage of when you have captured the moving objects, when you have captured things that are not so logically to the mind, you know, it's something that is not supposed to occur. How often have you bumped into, when you go to different places where there's cases of like this, of some people call it poltergeist?
How do I deal with it?
Yes, because you know, there's people that classify. I'm sorry if I didn't like shuffle that question right. Some people classify intelligent haunting. Some people classify residual haunting. And then, you know, because we're still looking at things at different sections. I say this because I read a lot and I say and listen to a lot of interviews. That's intelligent haunting. That's residual haunting. Residual hauntings don't know that you're there or they're there. It's just something that repeats. And I'm thinking, wow, it really takes the spirit out of the place. But there's a reason why you're seeing it and you're experiencing that. If you know, if it makes sense to the people. When it comes to moving objects, you mentioned about the gravity that we cannot see, but yet you have captured on camera. And being that you are of a scientific approach, you know, that you were a skeptic and now you kind of like, okay, looking at all these things, when you come across, how often have you come across with poltergeist activity that you were able to capture it on film? And people, you know, will say that, you know, is intelligent or that was residual. These are the things where I'm a bit in that loop of wanting to understand. Because why it's happening, I know that if it's happened to me, it must happen to a lot of people, is because of the things that we've seen on TV and what we have been exposed of. I like the old school way,
here's the thing, and this is another reason why where we, and myself, when I lecture, I try to be very plain and clear with terms, because so much of the terminology we have is gleaned from entertainment. Poltergeist, I mean, made popular, widely popular by the movie from the 80s. Poltergeist coming from the German geist, meaning ghost, polter noisy, so noisy ghost. All right. In recent days, it's been theorized and generally understood that a poltergeist often is not so much a spirit at all, but the manifestation of an actual person, and it's usually linked to a girl or a young boy possibly going through puberty and just mentally affecting these things. So essentially, poltergeists, as we see them generally, are manifestations of a telekinetic nature. We'll put the label poltergeist on it for things that move things around, throw things around, and it's a very broad and general label, but it's not always accurate. I have seen things. I have gotten footage and been around when things move. For instance, this bookstore in Tip City, Ohio, Browse the Wild Books. We were doing an episode on a collector there, and me and Chris Hafiz, you know, we're avid Star Trek fans, so we're like, ooh, we're in the bookstore. Let's go to the back and look at the Star Wars and Star Trek books that they've got. Let's see what they've got. And no cameras were rolling. No, you know, production was going. And as we're walking through the stacks, right in front of me, a book flies off the shelf. And it wasn't like it just fell off, or it wasn't like a pile of books was piled incorrectly. It literally just flew off the shelf and into my path. And I'm like, wow, hey, Chris, did you see that? And he goes, yep, it's going to be an interesting day. And, you know, I took a look at the book, and it was a book on World War II planes. I'm a big fan of World War II fighter jet, fighter planes, and I've always said I would love to fly one. So it was kind of interesting that this particular book presented itself at the bookstore. Now, here we go. Again, it comes down to perspective. Had someone else been in front, or that happened to, and they picked up the book, it might not have had as much meaning to them, but because it had specific meaning to me, do I assume that that was meant for me? Was that a random occurrence that would have happened regardless of my being there? And, you know, if a tree falls in the woods, doesn't make a sound. These are kind of things that we deal with, that we go round and round and round in our thinking, which makes it kind of hard to lock down repeatable instances to categorize it as quote-unquote science. And that's why right now the paranormal is a pseudoscience, because we have such a hard time with those pillars of fact to go on. So, I mean, when I deal with those situations, and when I'm faced with something that goes clearly against what is known and what has been established, I really don't react. I look at it, I think about it, I dwell in it, and that frustrated the hell out of the producers, because, you know, they want big reactions, they want you to be scared and jump. Something happens, I'm looking at it. Chris, he's looking at it. John, he's like, interesting. And they want, oh my God, what was that, man? You know, but if that's what we did, then we wouldn't be very good or experienced investigators, would we? Sure, we get scared, but, you know, we're there to run towards it, not away.
And you see, you gave us a very clear answer to that question, because that was one of the things that I have read. I mean, with poltergeist linked to the change of life of a young person, and yet we see people referring it to anything that moves, and there you go, boom. Okay, that has stayed labeled for life that way. So it's good. And of course, you mentioned something that happened off camera. I think I saw something of a rolling ball and you know, and what I like is that you guys are very calm, and that sets a good harmony in the place. And I understanding also about the situation, let's add more drama. So where you guys are, I'm sure that you guys were always asked, let's add more drama to this. Because a lot of people, they don't understand that a lot of these shows are produced by people that not normally are like into the paranormal. They're into the production company. They're into selling something that is, you are the into the paranormal. You're the subject. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. But a company that will be like responsibly dedicated to produce something as the educational part of the real life of the paranormal, not the, okay, we cut here, and this is the part we're going to do a close-up on you, and you're going to just look scared, you know, and we're going to make this look like a Blair Witch project. So, okay, rolling, you know, the aspect of it, that's what I like. Folks, you're listening to Brian Kano. You known him for being one of the cast of The Haunted Collector, very popular show on Sci-Fi, and he's sharing some very good insights in this interview that we have with him. So we have people, Brian, that asked me, that I'm reading off the chat room, that says, like, what are your favorite TV shows? They're asking all kinds of questions.
my favorite TV shows. I like a lot of other different things, but ironically, I don't really watch any of the paranormal shows. It's like, I guess, a police officer. When he comes home, when he gets off the job, he doesn't watch cop dramas, you know, because that's what he does in real life. So for me, I'll check out the shows sometimes when they're new just to see what it is, or if I've met somebody at a convention, I go, oh, you know, I'm going to check your show out just so that I know what's around me. But I love comedy. I love sci-fi. I'm a big movie buff, so in my spare time, I watch a lot of South Park, Key and Peele. I love anything that's Star Wars, Star Trek, Lord of the Rings. I'm big into that stuff.
There you go.
It takes me out of my head, and it takes me to a place, and I can lose myself for 2 hours suspension of disbelief, and I'm a happy camper.
And here you have a happy birthday from Alenka from Slovenia, and Laura, more happy birthdays for you guys. Do you see? It's never belated birthday. His birthday was yesterday. It's okay to happy birthday. They say happy belated birthday. He's going to be that age now for the next year. So.
This is true. 364 more days to go.
In this great career that you have established, and we know that we have a lot of the conferences, so people, you have an opportunity to follow him either on Twitter or on Facebook to know where is going to be the next conference. And I do urge you to go. You heard about the productions of DVDs, and also you can check out the episodes that are out there from, you have quite an extensive amount of documentaries.
I do.
Are you one of those people that are probably looking forward to the near future of making your own book?
You know, I've been wanting to do a book for a long time now, and there's kind of two books I want to do. Because I started this out, it was more urban exploration. It evolved into paranormal investigation, and you know, I did it with my group, the Scared Crew. I wanted to have, and because we began in 2002, in 2012 we celebrated our 10-year anniversary, and I wanted to do like a coffee table books, you know, Scared 10 Years of Fear, and have a lot of pictures and show how we came up. Because I mean, when we started in 2002, there was really nothing around to emulate. Ghost Hunters didn't come out until 2004. You know, there was no GAC crew, so we were just doing our own thing, and it was raw, it was messy. You know, we've evolved a lot since that time, but I really wanted to have some kind of retrospective done about that. And then separately, you know, everyone's saying, you know, Brian, you speak on subjects that are so good, you have so many experiences, when are you going to do a book? And I would love to, and I'm planning on it. I'm a person who agonizes over every sentence and every word, and if I speak it or say it, if I'm going to write it, it has to be right. And sometimes I'll sit down, I'll write a paragraph, and I'll look at it and go, yeah, no, I can't put this out. And lately I've been writing a lot of, people have been asking me to write forewords for their books. And I agonize over it. It's something that I love doing, but I guess I'm a perfectionist in that respect.
You probably say, ain't I in front of camera already? If you just watch the DVD, you're like, wait, did you see this movie? No, I'm reading the book. The book has more information that they don't show over there. Because why? Well, they have so much over here, the people that love either to read the book or watch the movie. You either watch the movie or read the book or both. So
I mean, to get a taste of that, I mean, to speak directly to that point, when Haunted Collector would air every week, when the new episodes would come out, I would go on my blog and write about that episode so that people could get a little behind the scenes of maybe evidence that they didn't get to see or a funny experience that happened to us, and that you can go check out by going to brianjcano.blogspot.com.
There you go. because those are the things that we want to check out, and you know, it complements everything when you get the full experience. So it's good that you have that put out there like that. Another people have asked me, what has been the most paranormal, place that you have been, that, and that comes from the chat room too.
It's tough. I'm horrible with favorite questions or what's the most question, because it's like asking a parent, you know, which one is your favorite child? there's things about every place that I've gone to that I've either learned something, experienced something. Let's just take the show, for example. All right, we went to Hawaii. We went to Puerto Rico. We went to these amazing places. But, you know, we went to Tip City, Ohio. And it's like, what? Who would go to Tip City, Ohio? But, you know, I had amazing experiences there. So every place I go, I try to look around and be cognizant and really soak it up. And sometimes it takes some time. Sometimes it needs to soak in, and I'll reflect and go, you know, that was an important experience for me, even though it didn't seem so at the time. But I had to pick one place that was pivotal in my development. It would have to be the Grand Midway Hotel in Windsor, Pennsylvania. And this was a location that my team and I, not haunted, collector, but scared, we had an experience that was rather profound, and it really shook the way we thought. We returned to it in the second season of Haunted Collector, so we find ourselves going back to it a lot. Actually, just last week, I think it was Friday, I posted the link on Facebook to that documentary so that everybody could see it. And it's very much a part of us now as we are a part of it. I find that's true about a lot of the places we go to. You know, you leave a part of yourself there just as much as you take a part of it with you.
Yes, we discovered, we found ourselves also kind of there's a place, we go to many places, but there's a place that we kind of frequent a lot because that's our baby right there. It's almost places that don't disappoint when you go there because you connect very well with it, and it becomes part of you. And connections with the spiritual world. I hear many people have that good connection. They say that my spiritual guides, I have a spiritual contact, and maybe you have something like that you probably not mentioned. Because have you ever been followed by an entity once you leave a location?
Honestly, I'm not sure. The way I used to explain it was, you know, I go on an investigation, I do my thing, and when I leave, I kind of leave it all there. It's like leaving your job at work. And when I would go home, my home is my safe zone. It's my bubble of normalcy, and I don't practice at home. I don't experiment at home. I don't do anything in my house because, like I said, when I'm home, I'm in space. I'm in Middle Earth. I'm somewhere else. I'm enjoying my life outside the paranormal. But it's not to say that something hasn't followed me home. I just feel like when I do go home to my safe area, if something was there and it was trying to make itself known, I'm really not paying attention to it. So it's going to get bored and leave, and I'm not giving it the energy or the attention it needs. And that's just like a regular attachment or something. I mean, anything that was darker, I guess the jury's still out on that. I from time to time, will go to an event and there'll be a psychic saying, "Oh my God, you have something dark around you." And my response, "Well, get rid of it. Don't just tell me about it. Get rid of it.
Scare it away. Do something.
Yeah, be gone."
Well, there's other things that when you say that you're in your safe zone, and we heard that you are the star. You mentioned Star Trek, right?
Yep.
Okay.
I learned a lot from Star Trek, and it's funny how things affect you. When I was younger, and I would go to Star Trek conventions all the time. And as a kid growing up, watching like The Next Generation and watching the movies and getting to meet these actors. It was very exciting because you got to meet these people who you look up to in some fashion or that are so much a part of your life because you're constantly involved in these adventures that you see them in, be it fiction or otherwise. And, you know, I would go to the conventions, and some people I would meet were really cool, really nice, really personable, and then others weren't so much. And I remember always feeling bad about that, feeling like, wow, that guy was a jerk to me, and now I see his character on the show, and I just feel like, ugh, I don't enjoy it as much now. And that stuck with me. Not like I knew I was ever going to be on TV, but, you know, when I meet people at conventions, no matter how long their story is about their grandmother, no matter how many orb pictures they show me, I'm going to look at each and every one of them because they took the time to come there to see me, and who am I? I'm just a guy. So if my talking to them for however long makes them have a better experience and makes them happy that, you know, hey, wow, Brian took the time to talk to me, that's the least I can do. And it's because of the fans that we're even out there doing what we're doing. It's because of those people that I can have a career going and speaking around the world. And I'm always going to remember that.
You know, that's very humble of you, because it's true. When you come across with someone that you've seen on TV, you know, and you want to say hi, and that, you know, that it's hard. First of all, it's hard for you to be shaking hands or signing autographs all day or answering to every private message that you receive. You know, sometimes you want to go online and just say, you know, post something or check your email or something. People know that you're there and they send message to you. message. And then I say, well, why are you ignoring me? I'm your friend. It's not that you're ignoring. You know, it could be that there's too much in demand. Thank you. I have to say thank you for taking a little bit of your time to doing our interview today. Well, you know that you mentioned about Star Trek. For example, me, I worked with horses a long time ago, and in one of the places where I worked and lived was the Oakwood Stables. I was taking care of one of these horses, Tower of Power. I remember the names of most of the horses that I was taking care of. But I was taking care of one, belonged to a lady, Moonshadow. And all of a sudden, this man just walks up, and I looked at him and was wondering, I've seen him before. And, of course, it was William Shatner. So talk
yeah,
about
he's a horse guy.
Talk about that close encounter with Captain Kirk right there, you know? I like all the episodes. I like all the episodes. And I like, of course, when they have that accessibility. And it's very hard. It's very hard. Sometimes, you know, well, you don't know how people will react. And there will definitely, you know, are the ones that keeps you going. And that. So, thank you. I have to honestly say thank you for behalf of everyone that makes the chat room and WLOR for you to be with us on the show today.
No, it's
I'm
pleasure.
Saying
the
thank you on advance because I there's something with me, Brian, that I've been sucking big time on the timing of things. I don't know why. I've asked this question before, and people laugh whether men follow instructions or not or anything. I do the radio, and I wear many hats, and one of the hats and one of the eye, I keep my eye on the counter, so I know that when you are on the road, you keep an eye on many things too. What is, just to post another question for you, what is like the I know that we use the old school methods and new equipment. What new equipment that you can share with us that was, we'll say that this has been very useful for you? Because one of the things that I've noticed that in the paranormal, there's a lot of electronic voice phenomenon going on. And that's the most that I get. What about you? Are you like into the, is it audio or we're getting very closer to the video part of it?
I think, you know, lately I've been on fire with EVPs. I was just recently at an event down in Ocala, Florida at the Seven Sisters Inn. And every EVP session, every group that came through, every night that we did it, I felt, you know, hey, I was making legitimate contact. We were getting some great EVPs, and you know, with any session, it really is potluck. It sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't, and more often it doesn't. I feel, and this is true with really anything, any discipline, the more you do it, the better you become at it. My friend Chris Mancusa, I mentioned it before, is part of my team. He's become very adept at the spirit box because it's something that's his go-to device. So he knows it well. He knows what to listen for the more he does it. And I think as a recommendation to anybody listening, there's a lot of gear out there. There's a lot of things to try, and it's cool to try all those things. But if you find something that really clicks with you, one piece of gear, get to know it inside and out. Know how to take it apart, repair it, understand the theories behind its operation. It's kind of funny because to this end, I mean, my favorite gadget used to be the Gaussmaster EMF detector. And it just did one thing. It just had, you know, little dial on it, and when it detected a flux in the EM field, it would make a little whiny noise. And that's all it needed to do. It didn't need to be too complex because it would alert me when there was a change, and then I would look to see if I could find out what was causing it. These days, the thing that's at my hip at all times is my Melmeter. And Melmeter, being the great Swiss Army knife of the paranormal gear, mine has the basic EMF meter temperature gauge on it. It's also got a REM pod function, a shadow detector, as well as a automatic temperature differential function. So it's got the little flashlights built into it too. So it really is useful in multiple ways. And the last time I was up at Gary Galka's place, getting my equipment taken care of, you know, I bring it in once a year to make sure everything is up to spec. I told him, I said, Gary, you know, I love these devices. I love all the stuff that you put out there. But you know what? I want to build one myself. Now, I'm not saying I want to be an inventor and make new devices. I want to build my own Melmeter so that I understand the circuitry and the circuit board and the connections so that I know exactly why this device works. And, you know, harkening back to what I was saying about the Paranormal Compendium, yeah, like, hey, I can't be a hypocrite about this. I want to understand why this works and exactly why I'm using it. So we're trying to pull it together, but I'm thinking of doing a little workshop up at Gary Galka's factory. And it's going to be small events of maybe 10, 15 people. And it's going to be like, all right, guys, let's make some Melmeters. And then when you make you keep it, you get to go home with it.
Well, you see, folks, if you want to go beyond the paranormal, you got to follow Brian Kano. Brian Kano, it's awesome. You are an awesome guy. This was an awesome interview. And, folks, you already know that there are very interesting DVDs pending, and it's going to be out there. Follow him on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter. Look at the shows. And also, check out the conventions wherever he's at. Brian, thank you very much for being on the show with us today.
Oh, thanks, man. Again, thanks for having me on. It was a pleasure.
Okay, folks, we're going to be giving the controls back to WLOR, and you've been listening to The Chat Room with Tony Wolfall here with Brian Kano from The Haunted Collector. An awesome interview, folks. And, you know, like we always say, you have to be safe, be with an open mind, and also, you know, educate yourself a little bit with the paranormal conventions and the great speakers such as Brian Kano. His birthday was yesterday. Awesome. It's Monday. Monday don't suck no more. You know, we're kicking off this week in a very good way. Thank you very much, Sherry, and everyone that has been on the chat room with us. And it has been another show. Let's wrap this up. Thank you very much, WLOR. Goodbye. All right. That was with WLOR. So, folks, what do you think? It was an awesome show? It's an awesome show. So you heard a little bit of Brian Kano, the experience that he's had also with the paranormal, the shows, and all the rest makes this The Haunted Collector one of our favorite shows, okay? So it's awesome. I see you guys over there in the chat room. And WLOR, Brian, you're still with us?
I am here.
I kind of like, I do this show with WLOR, and it's 9:55. We always hand back the show to Arius, which is the other host that comes in. And, well, sharing the links, we have to share some links with that way people will connect with you on your Facebook. We're still officially on air with Block Talk Radio. So I just gave very nicely back the floor to over there to WLOR, and we're going to be following this. If you ever write a book, brother, it's going to be an awesome thing.
I hope so. I just need to get my head in it. I need to put my thoughts down and start it, and not be so much of a perfectionist, and just let the chips fall where they will, and I'll hopefully come up with something that makes sense, because I can be a tangent man at times.
Yeah, I know, and you know what you said about the timing and people that will try to get connected with you, and it's true. But you're very humble. You have the conventions. You have these activities that people can go there and meet you and greet you. And, well, that's another thing that we enjoy very much, seeing that you're out there. You're pretty much accessible. Because, of course, the show has a lot of fans and that. And I was going to ask you, because I did receive a call from someone, a good friend from New England, saying that I'm watching The Haunted Collector. So there's, we can expect a new season coming up pretty soon?
No, actually, unfortunately, we found out on Halloween back in 2013 that we were not going to be coming back. It was quite a blow, you know, Halloween being the kind of the Christmas for the paranormal. It was a hard pill to swallow that day, but you know, we're still doing our thing, just the cameras aren't rolling, and I wish we were still able to bring what we do out to the fans in a more public forum like the TV show. But you know, we're still out there. We're still accessible. So, I mean, anybody who has questions or just wants to know anything about the concepts, they do feel free to get in touch with me.
And about the movies, I know that people are like producing the short films and that, and you are with core films. Is there like a possibility we call it, some people call it documentaries, that you have projects coming up? Well, we have 90 seconds. I call that Voice Rebecca. we have expectations of seeing a new release of a movie from you also.
For me, not so much a movie, although I am producing a Haunted Collector follow-up to be included on the re-release of the John Zaffis documentary called John Zaffis, The World Within. And hopefully that'll be coming back out around June.
Okay, around June. So there's so much that we're going to be seeing. Listen, again, I have to say for the third time, thank you very much for being on the show. And I hope to have you back soon when these projects come out, okay? Please keep that in mind. I want to invite you back to the chat room.
Anytime. I'd love to.
Okay, folks. So now we're going to wrap it up for Blog Talk Radio. And also, thank you very much for tuning in and making this one of your favorite paranormal morning shows. Okay? Be safe, be loved, folks. Goodbye.